Hello, everyone. Class is now in session. I hope that you are tuning in right now. We're really excited to have you guys for the second episode of MCU Academy.
Yes, welcome back to the Academy, everyone. This is so exciting for us, episode 2. Just before we dive into everything, I just want to say thank you. We had 44 listeners on our first episode, which is so cool. We were not expecting that.
Absolutely wild.
Yes. And I also just wanted to say, if you want to follow us on social media, it's going to be put in the description of this episode. So we'll have our personal social medias if you want to follow them. You don't have to. It's fine. Whatever. We don't care. We won't be hurt. But then we'll also have the MCU Academy's socials in the description. So if you want to go follow that and like them and keep up with it so you know when episodes are coming out, go for it.
So before we get started, real quick, spoiler alert for Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk, and Thor. If you haven't watched those movies yet, leave. Like, you're detention. Get out of here and go watch the movie. This is the coolest school ever, by the way. Like, our detention is go watch a movie. So go watch the movies, maybe not Incredible Hulk because it's kind of not good, but go watch the movies and then come back.
Yeah, no, you're going to want to watch them, and then when you listen, it's going to make a lot more sense.
You'll be so lost while we're talking, so.
So, to start us off, we're going to first talk about Iron Man 1. This was released in 2008, and this is, like, the Kickstarter of the MCU franchise. This was the first movie released, and that's how we're going to be talking about them to you, because you should be watching them in release order if you are a newer fan, because that is how the MCU wanted it to happen. So I think we should respect their wishes. That's how they wanted the audience to view them. So that's how we're doing it.
So, Iron Man. Tony Stark is introduced. He basically is the owner and operator of a giant multi-billion dollar company that creates all kind of tech, including arms. He goes to Afghanistan with the US military to show off this new Jericho missile that's like supposed to be like the most devastating weapon of war that he's created. And his car's blown up and he's taken in by the terrorist group, the Ten Rings. And he meets a doctor. He creates the first Iron Man suit, breaks out. And yeah, that's basically the first 10 minutes of the movie.
And just to like reiterate this, the first Iron Man suit is not the flashy thing you see on the movie cover.
It looks like a garbage can. It's like what Ernie lives in.
Yeah, it's not all that. I mean, it got him where he needed to go. It broke him out of the cave. So, I mean, it worked, but it's nothing like you see in the rest of the movie.
And besides the suit, another big thing that happened in that cave is Tony Stark created the first compact arc reactor. So his father, Howard Stark, created Stark Industries, and he created a arc reactor, but it was like this giant thing, had to be in a huge warehouse, and no one was able to crack the code on how to build this arc reactor small. And now that Tony Stark built one that's that small in his chest that works on a human being and can power like what he needs to be powered, absolutely incredible. And it just shows how crazy Tony Stark is intellectually.
Yeah, I mean, you really see how much of a genius he is in this movie.
As much of an egotistical asshole he is.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So the next major part that happens is he gets back to the United States, you know, after he was rescued by the U.S. military. He holds a press conference and basically says Stark Industries is not going to be involved in dealing arms anymore, because he finds out, or not finds out, but his mind is opened after what he experienced there. And he sees that this terrorist organization had his weapons. They were using his weapons against him. And that's not what he wanted. He wanted to make the United States safer, and it completely backfired on him.
So in the whole middle of this, there's also, he has to run his company too. And like, it's not going well. He's trying to shift the whole focus of the organization. He has shareholders that he needs to please. He needs to please the rest of the investors and everything else. He has to deal with the government. He has to deal with his own internal workings. So, internal workings, here we go. Obadiah Stane, the second in command under Stark, basically deals with all of the actual business shit.
Basically co-CEOs, but not really. Yeah.
Yeah, Tony has fun and is like the figurehead, and Obadiah actually does shit.
That's basically all you need to know.
Then we have Jarvis, who's basically second. He's Tony's right-hand man.
Except
he's a computer. He's like a super artificial, like super smart artificial intelligence, can basically run any type of anything in like 2 seconds. Super, super implemental. We need him. We love Jarvis. The accent too. Gotta love that. Like,
I would give to have a Jarvis.
Jarvis, what's the, it's like an Alexa. Like, Jarvis, can you do my math homework? Jarvis. And it'll do it. But, and then we have Pepper Potts. God, Pepper Potts.
Pepper is the personal assistant to Tony Stark in this movie. That's how she is first introduced. That's all you really need to know about her for this movie right now. Is
she's a bad bit. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, she basically does anything and everything Tony needs. And then Happy Hogan is the bodyguard and the chauffeur for Tony Stark. He doesn't really get a lot of screen time in this movie, but he's a very prevalent character throughout the rest of the MCU.
So, yeah, this is just where he's first introduced. Yeah. So, after all this legal stuff with Tony trying to switch around what the company's doing, he actually finds out that Obadiah Stane wanted to kill him and take over Stark Industries. And Pepper's like, nah, that's not good. Tony's like poisoned, and Pepper's getting files and stuff. She's like, she's dodging shit. And then she talks to Phil Coulson, who is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
It's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
We know, we're working on it.
But, so Phil, basically, he wants to know everything about Stark Industries and just wants to, like, do a report for S.H.I.E.L.D., so they know what's up.
Yeah, he just needs to debrief Tony on what he experienced in the cave and everything like that. Now, keep in mind, all while this is going on, Tony is constantly working to perfect his Iron Man suit. So, throughout the movie, you see him constantly tweaking his Iron Man suit and everything like that. And one of my like favorite parts is when he's flying up, when he first takes it for a test run, flies it all the way up.
Exactly the sky, what you're talking about.
And gets covered in ice.
Yes.
And then it comes back to bite Obadiah Stane in the ass at the end of the movie, because Tony takes him all the way up to the sky, and Obadiah is like, you're running out of fuel. And Tony says, how'd you fix the ice problem? And Obadiah just plummets.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not the end of the fight. That fight goes on for a while.
That was a pretty long fight. That was
honestly, for a first like major fight, that's definitely a good one. I mean, Iron Man is definitely ingrained in all of our minds just for being the first of the MCU, but like that fight scene was pretty good.
It's pretty iconic. You really get to see how much stronger someone is when they're inside an Iron Man suit, whether it's Obadiah's or Tony Stark's. I mean, Obadiah's was just kind of outlandish. It was
hulking.
It wasn't practical for the things that you needed to do as someone inside the suit. But so basically, Tony beats Obadiah with the help of Pepper, and
Obadiah dies, and that's basically the end. The one thing that does happen at the very end, Iron Man is like at a press release, and he's like, yo, everyone, I'm Iron Man. Even though like the US government and S.H.I.E.L.D., everyone was like, don't tell anyone, don't say shit. He says it. He says it. He's like, I am Iron Man. And that's how it ends.
The way he says it.
I am Iron Man.
And then it just cuts and it's perfect. Now, obviously, we didn't get to everything that happens in the movie. This is just kind of a rundown for like a refresher, or just, you know, again, like for newer fans, just kind of like a breakdown for everyone. Now, for the end credits of this movie, I think there's only one.
Yeah. So for those of you that are new to the MCU, you might not have done this. So pause here if you didn't watch the end credit scene. So the end credits, they're in basically every Marvel movie. You need to watch them. They basically tease the next movie or just like a little fan service for that movie. In this one, Nick Fury gets introduced, and he brings up the Avengers Initiative. And that's about it.
And so you don't know who Nick Fury is at this point, which is totally fine.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Now, Iron Man 2. 2 years later, 2 years and we get Iron Man 2, another great movie. So Tony reinstates the Stark Expo that his dad first created. He's basically showing off all the new tech and stuff that he's doing. And it's kind of just like, I'm better than my competition. So that's me.
He's being a dick. He's saying, you guys are not up to the speed that I am at.
This is the proof.
But he also, when you open the Stark Expo, it's allowing other people to give, you know, their inventions a chance. But, like, Tony's
not so much.
Tony's not, he's just not going to invest in them. And the Stark Expo is just a waste of money, as Pepper said to him.
This is also the first, like, this expo is also where we first meet Black Widow, also known as Natasha Romanoff. She is acting as an intern, but she's really just keeping an eye on Tony for Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm. So she is first known as the intern, and side note, for Tony, he's dying at the beginning of this movie. The arc reactor in him is not capable of sustaining his life and things like that. So he hands the company to Pepper Potts, creates her as CEO.
So he basically, so she's running everything, but he like has a final say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially.
Because he's being all poisoned by his arc reactor and he needs to fix it, but there's no way to fix it because it's the only arc reactor in existence. So he kind of just gives up and starts doing things willy-nilly. Whatever he wants, he does.
Basically, when someone knows they're dying, they kind of just do whatever they want. So, like, that leads us to, like, when he was driving the race car and kind of just not caring what people think and just, you know, whatever. So, this brings us to the villain of this movie. So, the villain is Ivan Vanko, or also known as Whiplash. And you could also say that the other villain is him or Industries to a certain extent.
Just because they, like, employ Ivan for making, like, all the new tech that the owner of Hammer Industries wants it. He wants all of the tech, and Ivan is a pretty smart guy and can do it. So he's like, you can get your revenge if you give me the tech that you're going to build. And Ivan's like, yeah. And then at the end of the movie, we all know what happens. Ivan turns on everyone and is like, screw it. I'm going to just destroy everything.
Yeah.
What a crazy guy.
So where Vanko comes from, Ivan Vanko, the reason he hates Stark so much is because his father and Tony's father created the arc reactor together. Now, Vanko, the father, Ivan's father, wanted to sell it, but Stark was like, no, we're not selling it. So then he ends up getting deported back to where he was from.
Which is kind of, you know, it's kind of rude on Howard's part just for like trying to sell it, but also Vanko tried to sell or trying to deport him, but Vanko tried to sell it, so like I get it, it's wrong, but I get it.
It makes sense. It does, but it doesn't.
It also it does fit Howard Stark's personality very well. He's very much like Tony.
Yeah, I think Tony's a little worse, but
Tony's definitely a little worse, but there you go. We're doing the same thing. So Tony has to create a new element that he discovers in a video from his dad so he can fix the arc reactor. So basically Howard Stark figured out that, oh, you can use this new element and it's like super nice and it'll work in arc reactors, but like I don't know how to make it. So Tony gets all of that info from his dad, recreates the element, implements it in the new arc reactor, and now he's all safe and he's not going to die now. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, so what this element is it's like, it's super hard to make. So for him, it was like a great accomplishment to be able to do that. And the reason he finds it is because he was placed on lockdown by Nick Fury.
Because, you know, he's dying and shit.
Yeah. That's it. And then another major part of this movie, War Machine, or also known as...
Drumroll! Rhodes. Colonel Rhodes, Rhodey, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
We love him, too.
So he was recast, but he takes on a more pivotal role in this movie. He really does actually become more of a main character in a sense in this movie.
Which is why we didn't bring him up in the last movie very much. Like, it was very like, yeah, there's this guy, he's friends with, you know, Tony Stark. That's about it.
Yeah,
he doesn't... here he like takes on, he has his own suit of armor. He's like, he's fighting stuff with Tony. Like, they become kind of a duo in this movie.
Yeah, I think my favorite fight scene in this one is...
when they're in that glass dome.
Yeah, like it's yes. like kind of like a Japanese kind of pond area, I think you could describe it as.
Yeah.
When I think of Iron Man 2, that's the image that comes to my head.
Same.
It's they're just...
like fighting other like autonomous AI robots. So...
yeah. It was good.
But... so again, that was just a brief overview about
again, we're not Iron gonna Man get 2. In depth into this. Like you should watch the movies. So.
Yeah, this is just trying to make sense of certain things, point out certain details that maybe you missed or maybe that you should focus more on. The one thing we didn't talk about for Iron Man 2 is the end credits. So, end credits, Agent Coulson goes to New Mexico and he finds this mysterious hammer with these like Norse engravings on them. Everyone, you better know what this is foreshadowing. And if you don't, like, you didn't watch, so go and watch. So we're going to talk about Thor next. But before we do Thor, we have a little ad break, so just bear with us.
Hang tight. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Okay, so Thor. There's a lot to unpack. Fair warning. There's a lot of mythos with Thor just because Thor is like its own separate world. It's just all these different characters. So we're going to go right through it and hopefully we can make this as painless as possible for you guys to understand.
So Thor for me is one of my favorite characters from the MCU. I just love everything about him. He's arrogant, but not arrogant to the extent of Tony Stark. He's arrogant in the sense that he wants the best for Asgard, where he's from, and he wants to protect and prove himself. So that's kind of where the arrogance comes from. It's a different type of arrogance. So as I said, he is the god of thunder, which means he is capable of wielding lightning through his hammer, Mjolnir. I love saying Mjolnir. Or as Darcy Lewis likes to say, Mew Mew.
Mew Mew. Okay, Darcy Lewis is a G2. We love her.
Oh, I know.
She's probably, okay, honestly, she's the best human character in Thor, I think.
She's the best supporting character in that movie, 100%.
Yes, 100%. 100%. She's smart and funny and shit.
I wouldn't even say she's smart. She gets smart later.
Okay, she's kind of dumb, but also she's a sleeper. She's like one of those sleeper intelligent people, like the ones that don't study for exams, but then get 100 on it. Yeah, she's one of those.
I was saying. So then we're also introduced to Loki. He's the brother of Thor, and he is the god of mischief. Now, later in the movie, I don't think it's too late in the movie, but later.
Definitely first half.
Yeah. He is revealed to be a frost giant from Jotunheim. Now, Jotunheim, you should know what Jotunheim is if you watch the movie, but, you know, Odin defeated... the frost giants on Jotunheim. Side note, Odin is the father of Thor and Loki. But so yeah, they defeated them, but Odin took Loki back as a way to bring peace between their worlds. So when he finds this out, it's not very good.
Yeah. Just like the end of the family tree while we do this. So Thor's mother and Loki's adopted mother is Frigga, who is a witch. Or like the closest thing they have to witches for the Norse mythology. Yeah. She doesn't really do much. She's just kind of there in this movie.
Yeah,
she's
don't just really kind of like, whatever. Don't really learn much about her in any of the Thor movies, honestly.
Yeah, she's very supporting, but so we're in the present. So Thor is about to be named King of Asgard and succeed his father. But then the frost giants come in and they're like, hell nah, we hate you people. Like, no. There's a big fight and shit.
They're coming to take back the power that was taken from them by Odin.
Yeah. So they fail. They're like destroyed. Like, they're not destroyed, but they're like defeated. But Thor's like pissed. He's like, How dare they come in and be like, like they did this to us. They completely interrupted my ceremony. Like, how could they? So Thor is like, yo, my friends, the Warriors 3, let's go to Jotunheim.
Sif, don't forget Sif.
And Sif, sorry. We love Sif. And he Loki. Takes the Warriors 3. He takes Sif and Loki, and they all go to Jotunheim, and they attack.
Now, this is completely disobeying Odin's orders. Odin did not want this to happen at all. He said, you're just going to cause a lot more ruckus. Like, they didn't, like, really infiltrate. They didn't get much. So by going against his orders, Thor is exiled, and Odin has to come and save them at Jotunheim. So Thor is exiled to Earth, and basically what this happens, what this means, is he is stripped from his powers. He is no longer to wield his hammer or possess the power of Thor.
So he's immortal, and he's no longer immortal, so he can just die whenever.
Yeah, so he is turned into a mortal. He's no longer a god. And now this is where the enchantment from his hammer comes.
So basically the hammer can only be wielded by those who are worthy of it. So when Odin strips Thor of it, he was worthy, but because he's been stripped, Thor is no longer worthy. So Odin sends Thor and the hammer to Earth, and basically the only one that can pick up the hammer is someone that's worthy. And Thor is like, oh, I'm still worthy. Screw it. I'll just go pick it up and everything will be good. Whatever. So he's around New Mexico. The hammer's in New Mexico. Thor is in New Mexico. Yes. He meets Jane Foster. They become kind of like friends and then a little bit more than friends.
Yeah, it's kind of like a really weird setup between
them. It's a weird dynamic, those two.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They
don't really
fit well together, but then they do. Like, it's weird.
The reason it's weird is because we don't really see a lot from Jane. Like, we don't get a lot.
She has like 5 lines. She's like, oh my god, look, a wormhole. Oh my god, you hit someone with a car. And that's like it.
Yeah, there's really not much going on there. So when he lands on Earth, we do meet Jane Foster, Dr. Lewis, and Darcy Lewis, and Dr. Eric Selvig.
So they are an astrophysics team that is currently studying cosmic phenomenon and stuff, and they're currently looking at wormholes and stuff. And in New Mexico, there's a wormhole because Thor got sent from Asgard, and Jane Foster's like, oh my god, there's a wormhole. And they meet Thor.
Yeah, and they hit him with his car.
Take
him to the hospital, you know.
It's kind of funny.
No, it is. You hit him with your car. It's kind of like a running joke throughout the movie. But so the rest is kind of filler because he doesn't have his hammer. So he's just trying to get his hammer back. So he convinces Jane to get his hammer back. I don't know why I just said camera. Hammer back. So Coulson finds the hammer. He takes Jane Foster's data about the wormhole and assigns Hawkeye to protect the hammer. So Hawkeye is when, this is where we first meet him.
And this is a nice throwback to the end credit scene from Iron Man 2 with the hammer. It's the same Agent Coulson, the same Jane Foster. Like, Coulson's just like, we don't want any of this stuff getting out. Let me just take the hammer. Let me take the data about the wormhole. And Hawkeye, you go protect it. Don't let anyone in.
You do your thing, Hawkeye. He's up in his nest.
God, we love Hawkeye.
So when
is he named Hawkeye in, like, do we know he's Hawkeye? Or do we just know he's a guy that's arrows?
I'm pretty sure they say Hawkeye.
So am I, but like, if they don't, it's Hawkeye.
I'm pretty positive.
Yeah. If they don't, he's Hawkeye. Whatever. It's just good background info. Anyway. Thor learns that Coulson has his hammer, breaks into the facility to reclaim it, but he's not worthy. And he's, like, distraught. He's like, oh my god, I'm not actually worthy. Like, this sucks. Then he lets himself get captured by the FBI, or by S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, now you have to remember, no one was able to pick up the hammer, so they built a facility around where the hammer landed when it came through from Asgard.
Yeah, so when Thor is taken, he's like put under, like he goes to like the facility. There's like a little jail there. Coulson is trying to just like interrogate him, get all the info out. And Loki astral projects once Coulson leaves and tells Thor that Odin died and that Thor is going to be exiled for the rest of his life. All of that's BS. So Odin's not dead.
And he is the, Odin's sleep.
He's in Odin's sleep, which is basically like Sleeping Beauty sleep.
It's basically a way for him to recharge his powers. That's all you have to know about that.
Yeah. But because Loki's like, I'm going to take the power while he's in Odin's sleep. Screw it. So Loki's just trying to destroy the whole family, the whole dynamic. He's trying to take over Asgard and be like, help. I want to be ruler. Screw it. Screw everyone.
So the reason Odin is in Odin's sleep is because Loki confronts him about his heritage, and he finds out, like I said before, that he is Laufey's son, which is the king of the frost giants, Jotunheim. So that's where that comes from.
And then Thor is actually, after that whole conversation with Loki, Thor is broken out by Selvig, and he explains like the Nine Realms and Asgard and all of the tea to Jane and her team. Mm-hmm. The Warriors Three, meanwhile, find out that Loki's doing some shady stuff and is like, we're not about it. So they go to Heimdall, and they're like, can you let us go to Earth? Can you send us to Earth to where Thor is? And Heimdall's like, okay, whatever. For those of you that don't know, Heimdall is the gatekeeper of the Bifrost, which is the means of traveling between worlds. And he's also a seer, so he sees everything in the universe. He's like omnipotent, basically.
He has to look for it, but he can see everything. Also, Heimdall doesn't really just let them pass through. He kind of just says, I'm not here right now, so you can basically do what you want. He doesn't condone it, per se.
But he doesn't say no.
Yeah. So he kind of is like, he knows something's going on with Loki, but he doesn't know what. It's beyond his seeing, which is weird.
I mean, it makes sense, though, because Loki is the trickster god. So, I mean, if anyone's able to get around a seer, it's going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
So Loki's like, okay, Thor's still on Earth. That's a loose end. I don't want that. So Loki's like, I'm going to send the Destroyer, which is like this automaton, giant metal robot thingy, but it's also sentient. It's weird.
It literally breathes fire. It opens its face and breathes fire.
Yeah, it's weird. He just wants to kill Thor. He's like, kill Thor, kill all the people. I don't care. He also kills his father because he's like, I don't need you. Powerful. The Destroyer goes to Earth and fights Thor and the Warriors Three.
And Sif.
And Thor basically has to choose between his life and Jane Foster's life because the Destroyer is there. And he's like, the Destroyer is about to kill Jane. So he jumps in front of the Destroyer and is like, uh-uh-uh. Thor becomes worthy because of that sacrifice. And his powers are reinstated. He's no longer mortal. And he saves Jane. He destroys the Destroyer and he returns to Asgard.
Basically beats the shit out of the Destroyer.
Yeah. Like everything. Nothing is left. So, which is like, that's something to be, there's something to be said about that too, because the Destroyer is called the Destroyer for a reason. So. Mm-hmm.
So the next major part is just the ending. Thor goes back to Asgard, and Loki's there trying to destroy Jotunheim with the Bifrost. So what Thor does is like, well, that's not happening. And we get a little fight scene between the two. But then Thor eventually breaks off the Bifrost with his hammer and like basically sends it plummeting into space.
The only implication of that is he can't go to Earth. He's stuck on Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks, because now he can't go back to his lovey-dovey, Jane Foster.
Oh, you had to say lovey-dovey.
I had to say lovey-dovey, I'm sorry.
So, Odin wakes up from his sleep to save the two boys from falling into space, but Loki feels that he's not enough or accepted, so he commits suicide by floating away into space.
And then Thor's like, I'm not ready to be king, so I don't want it yet. And Jane Foster is like, I need to go see my BF. So how do we get there?
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah. And then the end credits for this one is really interesting. You have Selvig is taken in by S.H.I.E.L.D. to study a mysterious cube of blue light. And it has an immense amount of power. It's just super powerful. It's all you need to know at this point. and it's seen that Loki is possessing Selvig, so he's actually not dead.
We're also just going to keep a record of all of these, like, powerful items. We're going to keep a list of, like, where they're located. That way, when we do reference them, you guys know where they have been or where they were. Just for simplicity.
Yeah. So, and then the last movie we're talking about is The Incredible Hulk. Not seen this movie and I don't know how long. First thing you need to know is I'm sorry you had to watch it.
Agreed. I hated this movie. Technically it's the second movie in the like MCU release order, but this is like from like all fans agree that this is one of the worst, if not the worst movie that they've created.
Like I barely remember it just because it's been so long, but for older fans, if you've seen it, you know. But anyway, past that, all you need to know about this is Bruce Banner becomes this green giant thing called the Hulk due to gamma radiation. Now, what he was trying to do was to recreate the super soldier serum that was used on Steve Rogers, and we will get to that.
Next episode. That'll be fun. That's a fun episode. I love Captain America. But
yeah, that's going to be, I think, my favorite one. And we'll have more time to talk about that because there's a lot to unpack in that one, too.
There's only one other thing you really need to know about Incredible Hulk besides, like, the Hulk is General Thaddeus Ross is introduced. He's a super minor character in most of the MCU after this. He's a major character in this just because there's not a lot of characters in Incredible Hulk. There's, like, five that really matter, and Thaddeus Ross is the only one that's really mentioned afterward besides Hulk. So know that Thaddeus Ross is a general. He's kind of mean.
He literally just has to do with the military, and that's all you need to know.
The end credit scene, we have Tony Stark seeing Thaddeus Ross in a bar, and he's like, yo, what was the whole situation with the Hulk? Like, wasn't the super soldier program put on ice for a reason? And Thaddeus Ross is like, yeah, whatever. We'll just keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, so this is setting... So this movie sets up Captain America, the First Avenger, that movie, which is probably one of my favorites from the franchise, honestly.
Absolutely iconic. Bucky! Bucky!
Sebastian Stan has my whole heart. I love Bucky. Just everything about... Okay, we can't
fangirling. Stop.
I'll do whatever I please because all the girls will agree with me and you know I'm right.
I know.
So going on to next week. So yeah, we're talking about Captain America First Avenger and the First Avengers movie. So you want to watch those before our next episode released on Tuesday.
That will close out phase one. We're actually going pretty fast. So don't feel bad if you're not able to be on time with these. Just know that these podcasts are here when they're when you need them.
Yeah,
we're on your schedule, not the other way around.
Actually, you're on our schedule, so get it done.
Okay, Lexi, no need to be mean. Like, ugh. Like, God, don't scare them away.
No, they on schedule, Matt.
Fine. I mean, I guess that's good advice if they want to be caught up for the whole summer phase four break.
No, it's okay. They're fine.
It's okay.
We understand we're students as well. So, but like he said, this is do it on your time. But yeah, so.
If you guys have any questions about these movies, feel free to message us, Instagram, Twitter, like our social media, like we said, is going to be in the description of the podcast. So you can follow us. You can follow our personal as well if you want to. No pressure, but if you have any questions, any suggestions for episode ideas, we'd love to hear them, because after we get through all these movies, we're going to start talking about character arcs, different like trilogy, movie saga kind of things, all that kind of stuff.
Guests on? That
tea.
Will be
good. That's tea.
What? What's tea?
Your tea.
But either way, we're super excited, and like what Matt said, you know, if you have any suggestions, comments, or, you know, tell us what you want to hear about, because that's why we want to answer what you guys want to talk about. We want to make, you know, this tailored to you guys.
But other than that, thanks for joining. Class is dismissed. Stay after. if you want to ask any questions or anything. I wish this was an actual school. That'd be so dope.
Oh my gosh, I know.
But of course it's not. But whatever. We digress. Have a great night, guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. Bye, everyone.